Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy. Committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
Hello, Western Wisconsin. Let's see what we're up to. A warm West Wisconsin welcome to Spectrum West, everybody. This is one of those programs where we are overserved. We are packed tighter than the bubbles in a draft of Guinness. Today, banjo player and cool guy Russell Peterson is here. He's part of the original Energy Folkgrass Band. That's right, Folkgrass Band, called Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. They're playing on the Grand Duchess out of Hudson, and we want you to get to know them and their music a bit better. Jim Oliver visits with a couple guests for a preview of the delightful A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum opening at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. We'll take a look at this weekend's Northwoods Bluegrass Festival in Ladysmith and provide all the information you need ahead of time to be sure and book your seat for a special Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra concert and important fundraiser June 26th featuring young dancers, the always amazing sound of echo musicians. First, though, summer brings renewal. And nowhere is that more evident than in a garden, and especially after the winter season we endured. Well, we're going to celebrate that rebirth on Saturday, June 21st, when the Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra hosts, along with those who are tending the stars of the show, the 17th Garden Stroll. John Thorpe, who usually visits with news of the Christmas Stroll, paid us a visit with all we need to know. Personally, it's good to see that you do function in warm weather, because usually you and I are talking in the winter.
Cold weather, yes.
So the Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra takes care of your interior and your exterior, and we're at the exterior part. This is, by the way, the 17th annual Friends of the Symphony Garden Stroll, so it's a popular deal.
It's been going on for a long time. I know in the early years my mother was involved, and now she's in her mid-80s, so she's less involved. So I've been kind of attending this at the very least, if not helping my mother years ago. And a couple years off here and there that I'm not involved, but I'm back in this year.
You know, you're involved in, as we said, a lot of interior stuff, so you know colors and you know design and things, but most of those things can also be applied to gardens, can't they?
Your basic principles of art can apply to anything: form, color, balance, texture. It could apply to the food you put on your plate.
Yeah.
And so basically, if you're trained in the principles of fine art and have an eye for that sort of thing, you can apply it to any aspect of your life.
Mm-hmm. So give us a rundown. Where are we going on this garden stroll?
Well, one of the stops we are going to is out in Rimrock Hills, which is south on Highway 37. And don't be afraid, although Interstate 94, you cannot get on there. You can go through that site and go south to Rimrock Hills. Mm-hmm. And that was a garden we actually had on about 13 years ago. This one is lush with hosta. And the last time they were on the stroll, they were both working. And now they are retired, so they can put even more time into their garden. So if you liked it last time, wait till you see it now. The hosta are full size and mature, which is wonderful. Wow. There's many paths to go walking in the woods. I might bring up the concept of mosquitoes this year. It wouldn't hurt to bring some mosquito proofing on a garden stroll this particular spring.
All right.
If you are a hosta aficionado, this would be a definite stop you'd want to take on there.
All righty.
And then kind of going another direction, Oakwood Hills. And if you take Oakwood Hills Parkway, which is the road that loops behind the mall, up into the hills, and it's the last house on the left, this is like an area that's heading in a dead-end area, so you may not have ever driven there before. It is a lovely home perched on the edge of the hill. A wonderful little garden right by the street in front, which is on the sunny south side. Uh-huh. And then this house is essentially on a very steeply sloped lot. So on the back side, there isn't much back there until it drops way down deep. But it's kind of an inspiration to see what can you do, even if you have a teeny tiny bit of yard, what can you do to make it interesting, inviting, make you want to walk through it?
Yeah, gardens don't have to be big.
No, that's a fact. And then also kind of out in that neck of the woods, Paul and Lori Powers, who were on the Christmas stroll a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an expansive yard because it's a farm setting with Victorian home that's kind of spread out over space. And they are on top of the hill with commanding views for miles on end.
All right.
So it's really a lovely place. Nearby in Woodfield Subdivision on Woodland Drive, we have just another very lush yard. And this is a combination of shade and sun. Really quite lush. And this is another one where the front yard is kind of flat and the backyard kind of goes falling away. There's out off of Highway 93 on Tamara Drive, a lovely estate-sized home. They've done some really interesting changes in the backyard, which slopes down to Lowe's Creek Road. They always just simply had a just kind of a slope they had to mow. They've recently brought in where it's retaining walls, many steps going down their patio. There's a fire pit. And then they have a water feature that has, I thought I counted five waterfalls on the way down to the holding pond. Ooh. So absolutely stunning transformation of the backyard. And one of the final stops I'd say is the Teskeys, which is on Riley Street. Riley Street's a little hard to find. Cross Rudolph Road. Mm-hmm. This Riley Street does intersect with Mitcher. I had a little hard time finding it. Bob and Judy Teskey's garden is really lovely. They agreed to be on the garden stroll, and then very sadly, Bob passed away in April. And the natural reaction would be to kind of pull from the stroll and not do it. But with the encouragement of her family, Judy decided to stay in the stroll. And it's kind of a monument to the restorative and somewhat therapeutic nature of gardening.
Oh, yeah.
So to only 60 days after the loss of your husband, to be able to kind of go through and spend time in the garden. So it's a lot of fun.
There are a lot of reasons to have a garden.
There are.
And that's one.
And that's one of them, right. Right.
And gardens grow. That's what's cool. That's why people plant trees in honor of and in memory of other people.
And I think it's always about the future. Gardeners are simply optimistic people that are thinking about the future.
Exactly. No matter what the winter's like.
No matter what the winter's like, you know, yeah, I had a rough winter, I'll get over it.
This is Saturday, June 21st. It begins at 9 a.m. There are some amenities along. I mean, there's coffee and cookies at locations. There are at least, from what I count on what I'm looking at here, 10 places to get tickets. And the Friends of the Symphony, always looking for members. So as you guys are out there on the 21st looking at these gardens, consider becoming a friend of the symphony, because it's not just going and listening to music or figuring out ways to get other people to go listen
right.
to music.
And if I recall correctly, between the symphony Christmas stroll and the spring garden stroll, mm-hmm. I believe that this accounts for 30% of the funding of the symphony.
Ah.
That number may be variable slightly, but this is a significant effort to support of the symphony. And it's a lovely way to do it and a great way to meet new friends and friends you might not otherwise meet. And ongoing tradition. I mean, I've been doing it for years.
And I think that's a good time to start a tradition. This is a great way for people to get together in small groups and say, let's do the garden stroll.
So absolutely. Great way to spend a Saturday.
Thanks, John.
Thank you very much.
The Symphony Garden Stroll. It's Saturday the 21st. Other amenities include symphony musicians performing at each garden, Chippewa Valley watercolor artists will again be painting and selling works at each location, hospitality at Emmanuel Lutheran Church, and lots of other stuff. Tickets online. Also at the Symphony office in the Eau Claire Regional Arts Center. Also at Brent Douglas Flowers, Chippewa Valley Growers, Down to Earth Garden Center, Tin Roof Garden, Festival Foods, Klinger Farm Market, Lowe's Creek Tree Farm, Mays Floral and Garden, and the Potting Shed. Well, if you like bluegrass and lots of it, but you don't like going to the big outdoor bug spray and sunblock festivals, then this is the weekend made in heaven, except that it's made in Ladysmith, which might feel like heaven to those who live there. It's the 7th annual Northwoods Bluegrass Festival at the Russ County Fairgrounds Friday and Saturday. We went to the Chamber of Commerce and asked Arlene Knops for specifics. You know, by the time something reaches 7 years old, my dog is 7 this year, by the way, by that time they pretty much know all the tricks. Is that the case with the Bluegrass Festival, or are you guys still growing every year?
We're growing some because I think more people are hearing about it and attending. And two, there's some festivals that have not been able to keep going, and so people are looking for another festival. You know, we're not a large festival. We probably have about 500 mm-hmm. over the 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
But people like it because it is small.
What was the impetus behind getting it started in the first place? Did somebody say, we need a festival at the fairgrounds, or how did that come?
Well, they used to have Polka Fest.
Hmm.
They did for about 6 years, and it was costing a lot. Of course, you have to have that wood dance floor and everything, and it just wasn't drawing the people they needed. And I had joined the chamber just about that time, and they had a board meeting and said, Arlene, you do something. So luckily I had a co-chair who is a musician those first couple of years, and because I didn't know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But gone well, you know.
Surprised you didn't name it Arlene's Bluegrass Festival.
Oh gosh, no. I hear my name too much over those 2 days.
Why don't you, because that's what people want to know, give us the lineup.
Okay, it's Friday and Saturday, June 13 and 14.
That's this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah.
our gates open at 10 o'clock in the morning so campers can come in, the food vendors come in, and there's jamming going on in the afternoon. The bands start at 6 p.m. on Friday, and at 6 is Highview Bluegrass Band. At 7 is KR Bluegrass Band.
Could I just interject? And are these people what? Are they Midwestern groups mostly?
Mostly Midwestern, yes.
Okay.
Highview is fairly local. Okay. KR Bluegrass is more towards Michigan, up by the border, kind of.
There you go.
Art Stevenson in Highwater is from central Wisconsin. They've been around many years, and they're an all-time favorite. They've been at our festival 6 out of the 7 years.
Good.
And at 9 o'clock is the Purdy River Band. They are from Iowa. Then Saturday, we start out with open mic from 9 to 10. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody that, you know, likes to sing, you don't have to be professional, but you want that opportunity to get up on stage, there it is. 10 o'clock is Hey Lonesome Bluegrass Band, and many people know Art Blackburn, the leader of Monroe Crossing. He no longer plays with them. He has started his own band called Hey Lonesome. They are here. Then at 11 is the Seeger Boys. They're from Eau Claire. 12 o'clock is KR Bluegrass again. 1 o'clock is Purdy River. 2 o'clock, Art Stevenson. 3 o'clock, Highview. 4 o'clock is Hey Lonesome again. Then we take a dinner break from 5 to 6. 6 o'clock is KR Bluegrass. 7, Art Stevenson and Highwater. And we end off the evening with the Seeger Boys.
Wow.
Just a good selection. Some are more traditional. Purdy River Band, he writes most of his own music, so you'll hear some different, you know, types of things.
The topic is the 7th Annual Northwoods Bluegrass Festival. It's this weekend, and the source of information is Arlene Knops on the phone with us. You have some workshops on Saturday, too, don't you?
Yes, we do. So anyone with an instrument, again, can be, you know, that you're just starting out. It doesn't matter. They just enjoy doing this. If the band members put these on at 1 o'clock, we have Clawhammer Banjo with Kelly Anderson from Highview.
Mm-hmm.
2 o'clock is a band workshop with Nick Seeger from the Seeger Boys. 3 o'clock is a fiddle workshop with Rose Seeger from KR Bluegrass. And at 4, this should be interesting, it's a songwriting workshop with Chuck Lahr from the Purdy River Band.
Neat. Lots of other amenities, too. You have a hospitality booth. You've got local business coupons. You have door prizes. You have food vendors. What kind of food can you get?
Oh, my gosh.
More than just brats, I hope?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Everything from any kind of burger you ever wanted to...
Nothing wrong with brats. I want to make sure people understand that. I don't have anything against brats at all. But...
barbecue pork. They have a 21 shrimp dinner. They have tenderloin sandwich, pork chop on a stick, cheese curds, mozzarella sticks, french fries, chili cheese fries. And then we have an ice cream vendor who has mini donuts, ice cream, and popcorn. Nobody will go hungry.
Saturday morning, there's a special breakfast, too.
Yes, the dairy breakfast is held right there at the fairgrounds, and then right across at the fairgrounds also, the Rusk County Historical Society. So on Saturday, they do demonstrations. They're celebrating Rusk County agriculture. So they've got some farm machinery that they have operating. They'll be doing soap making, quilting, weaving and spinning, butter making, cast iron cooking. So it's a kind of a three-part event that really works well, because there's, you know, if you want to take a break from listening to bluegrass, all you got to do is walk about a block and a half over to the historical museum, you know, and spend some time there.
For the most part, it says that it's held indoors, but you do have what? You have some big doors
well,
that you can
open? It's a large metal building with a dirt floor, so the acoustics are really good. It doesn't bounce, you know, it's not a concrete floor.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a great big double doors at the end, so with a kind of an open area there, so we just swing those wide open when it's nice, and if you want to sit outside in the sunshine, you can and still be able to easily see and hear the band.
And you can sit in your favorite chair.
You bet.
Bring
that favorite lawn chair.
I get a kick out of the fact that it's called the Greater Ladysmith Area Chamber of Commerce, because I look at what you do. You get music in the park. You have the Northwoods Bluegrass Festival. You have, what else is that festival you have?
We have an arts and crafts fair, which is part of Mardi Gras. Leaf It to Rusk Festival in the fall.
So why don't you call yourself the greatest Ladysmith Area Chamber of Commerce rather than...
Oh, well, we're a busy bunch.
Hey, well, yeah, I'm sure you have to get back to work because it's this weekend. Arlene, thanks for joining us, and thanks for providing us with all the information we need, and have fun up there.
We will. Can I just mention that is a family-friendly, no-alcohol event. There's lots of camping right at the fairgrounds, so come on down and enjoy the event.
Yes, thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Alan.
My mother would be happy that someone calls me Alan now and then. The website for more info on this weekend's Northwoods Bluegrass Festival is easy, northwoodsbluegrassfestival.com. Also at ladysmithchamber.com. You can get more information there, too. So you got it all coming at you.
Support for WPR comes from Visit Winona, home of the Great River Shakespeare Festival, June 25th through August 3rd. This year performing Hamlet, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, and The Merry Wives of Windsor. It's the year to discover Winona. Visit Winona.com.
Spectrum West. 12th of June already. Wow. June 26th is an important date for the Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra. It's the evening of a fundraising effort unlike others in the past. It features dance. We visited music director Ivar Lundy Jr. at his studio to get the scoop on the affair dubbed An Evening of Ballet and Chamber Music. It's called Here Comes My French, Très Brillant. That's good. And a loose translation of that is
very brilliant.
Very brilliant, very bright.
Yeah. Echo is always trying to find new avenues to raise funds. And this is basically a fundraising event. And this is our first. So next year, when we have it, it will be slightly different. It came up in a board meeting last fall that some of the dancers in the area would be very interested in doing something with Echo. Some of the board members have children who dance. So we thought of a way of combining efforts.
So I understand you have a nice troupe of young dancers?
Yes, the performers of the ballet consist of local dance students from various schools of dance in Eau Claire. It's not only one school, but many. And they will be both male and female and will range in ages from 5 to 18 years old. Apparently very excited about doing this with us.
So how are you coordinating things? Which came first? You had your music all set and they have
it doesn't work quite like that.
Well, good. Teach me how it works.
They have the ideas and they ask if this can be done. What I try to do is to make a very small ensemble. As a matter of fact, it's the same kind of a group that played at Big Top Chautauqua last summer. We also, when we have the Echo Tells the Tale concerts, we have a very small group normally anyway.
This fundraiser is basically to raise funds for that concert because it's a free concert.
Yes. Okay. Oh yes, definitely. Quite a drain on the on the treasury. Yes. So then they say, is this doable? And I say, I will try to find some music from the season, if any of it fits. And actually, we do have some pieces that we will repeat with a very small group. We have 12 musicians. And Echo normally has a minimum of 20-some. So basically, I have to arrange the music.
For the number of musicians, is what you're saying?
Yes, for the size of the orchestra. Well, we're doing a Waltz of the Flowers from the Nutcracker. Mm-hmm. That's for full orchestra. What do you do with the horns? We only have one horn,
I could even dance to that song.
You probably could.
It's that much fun.
Are you coming?
I'd love to, yes. It's that much fun, yes, I think so.
We have a Habanera by Bizet from Carmen. We have Scott Joplin Rags. We have two of them that we played last January. And then we have some of the Bruce Burnside's material. Mm-hmm. That should be very nice. We have piano variations by Mozart that I arranged for the orchestra, which we had to cut down a little bit. It's on the long side. There are all kinds of pieces that we do. We have some French dances from the Baroque. So it's early music, it's middle music, it's late music, it's dance music in general.
So there always is a visual aspect to watching an orchestra. But this time there's even more of a visual aspect to the concert because you have the
dancers. Yes. Mm-hmm. We saw two of them dance just the other day when Ekrak had its fundraising as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that worked very nicely. So we are looking forward to this. It took a while to find the proper place for this, but Florian Gardens seemed to be the place to go.
Is this going to be indoors?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We are setting up a dance floor for them.
I would guess the acoustics are pretty nice in there.
Because it's a low ceiling.
Right.
Yeah.
So, it'll be a dead room, but it won't be like a big
concert hall. We will all be alive.
Yes, very much alive.
Yeah, but and the acoustics tend to be on the dry side.
Oh, dry? Is that it? I see.
Yeah. I suppose when you have reverb added in the studio here, we call it, we make the sound more wet.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in the studio, but we won't do it there.
You can't do that there, no.
And I don't think we will have any amplification either.
You also have a silent auction going on, other ways to raise money?
Yep.
You're getting donations from places and people for silent auction items?
Yes. They're quite nice, as a matter of fact. And we are expecting more.
And there's food. And there's a food aspect to it.
Right. And the event is not all that expensive. It's $45, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a reservation, though. You can do that by contacting Echo, calling 715-831-3331, or go to the website, eauclairchamberorchestra.org.
And you have more than enough time to do that, because it's not until June 26th.
Well, we have a couple of weeks, yes.
Yeah. Ivar Lundy, Jr., more conversation with him as his tenure with the Chamber Orchestra continues, and he decides what's next. Again, the fundraiser is Thursday, June 26th, 6:30 p.m., an opportunity for a delightful evening of music, dance, food, and the thrill of knowing you're assisting in the preservation of a Western Wisconsin tradition, the Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra. Spectrum Memos at the Northern Lake Center for the Arts in Amory. The historical exhibit Rural Artists of Wisconsin is up through July 16th. And this Saturday evening, hear a presentation by Peter Vodenka, his real-life experience living under communist rule in Czechoslovakia, and his freedom journey to America. That starts at 7:30. The Friends of the Library are having a book sale at the L.E. Phillips Public Library in Eau Claire next Friday and Saturday, June 20th and 21st, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day. June 25th, the Heide Center in Chippewa Falls kicks off a new program, Paint-a-Palooza, designed to guide students through the process of creating a work of art. Artists Cindy Kaiser and Ruth Lundblad will be the mentors, and there are two groupings available, one for ages 11 to 18 and another evening adult class, which has a cash bar, by the way. Details and registration by phone at 726-9000 or online at cvca.net. Well, as usual, and thank goodness, Jim Oliver's here. And yes, theaters and theater companies are busy. Jim has a look at one.
A funny thing happened on the way to the Forum is a musical with music and lyrics by Stephen Sondheim and a book by Bert Shrievelove and Larry Gelbart. A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum opened on Broadway in 1962 and ran for 964 performances and won several Tony Awards. The Festival Theater production opens next Thursday, June 19th, and continues in repertory through August 17th. Joining us to talk about the show are the director, Mark Baer, and the Festival Theater's artistic director and a member of the cast, Jacqueline Johnson. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Really glad to be here.
Well, Mark, tell us about the show.
Oh, it's a barrel of laughs. The show, as you pointed out, opened originally in the 60s and has been revived several times. In 1996, it was revived on Broadway with Nathan Lane in the leading character, and some audience members may remember that production or advertisement from that, as it was pretty popular. The play feels to me a little bit like one of those old Mel Brooks films, really kind of tongue-in-cheek. It takes place in ancient Rome, but these characters, they talk much more like you and I than they probably did in ancient Rome. And the plot revolves around freedom and love. You know, everybody ends up with somebody at the end, but the path to get there is quite a tangled knot.
I gather you didn't have to be dragged kicking and screaming into directing this show.
I never have to be dragged kicking and screaming to come back to Festival Theater. I have been here with Festival Theater beginning in 2002 as managing director for three or four seasons back then, and then most recently I've been back to direct the opening show of the summer season four of the last 5 years. So I love the team. The design team has been together for several years now, and working with Jackie and the company that she assembles is just a real pleasure.
You do have a day job. Tell us about what you do.
Well, I'm now assistant professor of acting and directing at Indiana University Northwest. That's in Gary, Indiana, right outside of Chicago. Life is very good back there. My wife, Kelly, and I met working here at Festival Theater way back in 2002, and we now have a year-and-a-half-old daughter. So life is awfully good.
Hey, it sounds great. I was reading in your biography that you're also involved with the Shakespeare Theater.
Yes, out there. Recently a part of founding Gary Shakespeare Company, although there's some really excellent community theater in Northwest Indiana and some professional as well, there was a real void of Shakespeare in the region. So I found some people who had some like minds, and we are in the process of creating our third production this summer. I'll be directing Twelfth Night.
He is Mark Baer, who is director of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. Joining him is Jacqueline Johnson, who is the artistic director of the Festival Theater and a member of the cast of the show. Jacqueline, we'll talk to you a little bit. Describe the duties of an artistic director.
Well, since we're a small company, you know, my tasks are wide and varying. However, the majority of my goals at Festival Theater are to uphold the artistic integrity to the best of our ability and resources so that our product is something that we can be very proud of. Also, a product that we believe continues the mission of Festival Theater to make the arts welcoming to all as an essential part of their well-being and for the vitality of our community here in St. Croix Falls and the surrounding areas.
Now, how much are you involved with the selection of the season?
Well, at Festival Theater, we have a really unique model that utilizes wonderful volunteers from our community around us. And so I work with a small committee of stewards that are interested in learning more about theater and or have different talents involved in theater. And we meet about monthly to discuss plays that we are reading and considering for production at Festival Theater. So that list is often generated from ideas that, you know, I bring to the table, but also things that they've heard that the community might be interested in seeing us produce, or that they've seen elsewhere that they think might be a great fit for Festival Theater. So a lot of these members, these stewards that work with us on the Theater Action Group and on the other action groups at our organization, you know, have been involved for years or have some sort of unique perspective on the work that we produce. And so they're able to kind of represent the audience as well as the community and help me get a better bearing for what would be a great production. So when we started talking about our musical selection for this 2014 season, we had a lot of different titles on board. And one of the things that drew us towards A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum was the humor. It is a very fun show. It's a very dynamic show. It's also a challenging show, both in terms of size for our space, but also in terms of the technical strengths of the music. We knew that we would be stretching ourselves. We knew that we would be stretching our community. And we also knew that it would be a show that allowed us to have a lot of fun for audience and artists alike.
Uh-huh. Why don't you give us a rundown on the rest of this summer season?
Yeah, we are, as you mentioned, producing in rep. So the first show to open is A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. The next one is a production called Almost Maine, which I would describe as a romantic comedy, a very tender romantic comedy. A set of scenes, really lovely, takes place in a small rural town in Maine, kind of centered around the idea of love and that falling in love, falling out of love, and all the parts in between. That opens on July 5th. And then the next show to open is our conservatory production of The Frogs. And so that features actually six youth actors from the community, and then the rest of the cast is made up of professional actors. Very funny show, classic comedy from the Greek histories. And then the final show of our summer production is going to be The 39 Steps, and that actually doesn't open until August 9th. So we have a wide variety of offerings. The 39 Steps is a spy thriller. Some people might remember it from the Alfred Hitchcock film by the same title. The play adaptation draws from the original book by John Buckman as well as the movie and layers in some kind of comic styling that a lot of people compare to Monty Python. Very, very fun, very creative, and it certainly is one of those shows that if you like the magic of theater, you'll enjoy that show.
So out of curiosity, many repertory theaters will have the same actors performing in all the different shows. Is that the case there?
Yes, we do our best to put together a season that allows for some varieties for our actors as well as our audience, so that if they are seeing actors in different productions within the summer season, they are seeing different types of their skill sets exercised. Pretty much every one of our actors that are here for summer work are appearing in at least one other show. We do have a few actors that are going to be retained for our production in October of The Miser. And then we will also even keep a few more of them that will stay on for our holiday show, Hans Brinker or the Silver Skates.
The entire company has those who aren't here on the staff year-round to begin with have just arrived and are getting to know each other and working on this play as a way of learning each other's skills. And it's really a kind of magical time in the season.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you also, Mark, about the technical side of the production. How much are you involved with that?
Oh, yeah, we've been planning this production. I think our first production meeting was in February. we've been working on the set, costume, lights, sound, props, designs for months now, and it's all coming to fruition here in the next 10 days or so. It's exciting. And being able to juggle all of these different resources, 15 actors, this design team that has worked so well together in the past, the budgets, being able to juggle all of that and make it come out as one unified piece, that's really the job of a director, and it's what turns me on.
So far as the music is concerned, is there just a regular musical staff that is with the theater company year-round, or is this how does that work?
We would love that. We assemble a band for each musical production as necessary. The band for this production includes a local performer named George Free on a variety of percussion instruments, as well as our music director, Neil Powell, who will be playing the first piano for the production. And then, interestingly enough, we have six members of the acting company, six out of 15, that have piano skills strong enough to be able to contribute to the accompaniment of the show. And so for certain numbers, if that actor is off stage, they sneak into the pit and add flavor to the musical accompaniment. So it's live music and a unified artistic product that we're able to work with.
Wow, that sounds like it would be fun to watch.
It's a blast. It's a blast.
Okay. Jacqueline, one last question for you. You're in the cast of Forum. Are you acting in any other shows?
I am. This year I'm actually performing in Forum, and then I'm also performing in the 39 Steps. And then I'll be directing The Miser as our October show. So I have a variety of duties, and I'm excited to perform in both shows. I actually play a man in A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, Marcus Lycus, who is a very funny character. And in the 39 Steps, I get to play three very beautiful, lovely women. So that's kind of nice that I get to have a little rounded summer.
Well, hey, it sounds really interesting. Well, we've been talking with Mark Baer, who is director of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, and Jacqueline Johnson, who is artistic director at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. The show opens Thursday, June 19th, and continues in repertory through August 17th. For ticket information, you can use your favorite internet search engine to find the Festival Theater. Mark and Jacqueline, thanks so much for visiting with us. You've been a real joy.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Support for WPR comes from Water Street Deli in Eau Claire, offering fresh hummus, baba ganoush, and pita chips. Available at the deli, the downtown farmers market, and just local food. On Facebook and at waterstreetdeliandgrocery.com.
I'm so glad that piece runs every week because it reminds me to get over there and replenish my supply. Tuesday Night Blues at Owen Park in Eau Claire, June 17th, Mojo Lemon. Music starts at 6:30. Thursday night, tonight, if you're listening on Thursday, the Sounds Like Summer Concert Series at Phoenix Park in Eau Claire. It's Melonious Thunk, that's great jazz, Weapons of Brass Destruction, and Kyle Roble. Chill on the Hill at UW River Falls begins Tuesday, June 17th, featuring the Cactus Blossoms. Thursday night, tonight, Memorial Park, Ladysmith, the Music in the Park series presents the Country Ramblers. Well, their latest CD is called This Old Town. Horseshoes and Hand Grenades is a band.
They call Stevens Point their base, but they love to travel far and wide to play their brand of music, and it is their brand. They write it, play it, sing it, and enjoy it. And it's that last verb that's most evident when watching them frolic on stage, in a yard, or wherever the music overtakes them. Russell Peterson is the banjo player, and next Thursday evening, they're going to board the Grand Duchess in Hudson with you, and you, and you, for 180 minutes of cruising and company, accompanied by the band. Russell and I talked on the phone. I heard that he has personal mooring lines already tied to the St. Croix River.
From St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin.
No kidding, you're from there.
Technically Dresser, but that's, you know, a tinier town right next to St. Croix Falls. So.
Well, we've all heard of Dresser. That's okay. You got to give Dresser its due.
Yeah. Yes, and I would love to give Dresser its due, yes. But that is where I am from.
Other than being the home of Russell Peterson, what else should we know about Dresser?
Oh, my gosh. It's home to trap rock. Your favorite gravel that will fill all of your driveways if you don't have asphalt.
Oh, cool.
Other than that, not much, man. Not much. It's just a very, very beautiful little town. Lots of good spots to get outside and enjoy the outdoors, but it's a beautiful little part of Polk County for sure.
Well, I got to tell you, I went online to look at pictures of the Duchess, you know, that boat that you're playing on in Hudson. You know, that is not just some SS Minnow there. That's... That, by the way, I also learned that Gilligan and his buddies on the Minnow, they went on a three-hour tour, and that's what you're doing, a three-hour tour. So good.
Exactly.
So good luck with that.
Hey, thank you very much, Al. Thank you.
So have you played on a boat before? Is that kind of fun?
I've only played on boats for my own recreational purposes, you know, just for fun and with friends and stuff like that. But we've never had a show on the water on a boat, you know. So this is kind of a dream come true for me, especially on the St. Croix.
You know, they might be offended by us calling it a boat, though. I mean, it could be ship, I think.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It is a nice, nice vessel, that is for sure.
No kidding. Hey, thanks for the CD. It's pretty cool, this old town.
Yeah.
On the sleeve of the CD, it says you guys started playing together in 2010. I'm curious kind of how five guys found each other so cohesively. I mean, the instruments fit, the love of bluegrassy, old but new time, acoustic, high energy, picking and grinning, yeehaw music fits.
Yeah.
There is definitely there's definitely a chemistry experiment going on in your quintet, isn't there?
Yeah, there definitely is, man. There definitely is. We all just met while attending the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, all pretty randomly, actually. I had run into the harmonica player the first day I was ever at school. We just kind of ran into each other by happenstance, and he had heard me playing guitar, and he walked up to me and said that he has a harmonica and likes to play music, and we should do it sometime. So we sat down and enjoyed ourselves some picking in the yard a couple days after that.
Cool.
And then the next year of school, the fiddle player in the band, Colin Matoka, he moved in two doors down from me in the dorms and met up with him and proceeded to play in the yard a few days later after that. And then the next year, I had met Sam Oden, our bass player, outside of a show on campus. A university put on concerts, and I'd met Sam there outside of the show, and we had just been chatting about how we needed a bass player, and he basically walked up to me and said, I play bass, and I'll play in the group. And then he showed up to practice, and he's been there ever since. And then Adam we found at a house party one night, our guitar player, and him and I had, and all the other boys had ended up getting into a nice big picking session late night at a house party in Stevens Point. And from there, it's just been love ever since, man.
No kidding. Man, this was meant to be. There's karma there.
Oh, definitely, definitely. We are a band of brothers. Band of very close brothers.
A literal band of brothers. Now, the name of the group is a common phrase that people use when something is close or almost. Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. Does that have something to say about your approach to music? You're very good at it, but I'm imagining that you're rehearsing and then someone says, close enough.
Very much kind of our approach to things is, playing music in the moment and playing music with each other and then interacting with the crowd in a room is important to us. That is the foundation of, you know, our band and why we wanted to play together.
Yeah.
To practice or to, you know, work it up too much is one of those things that nobody in our group is very interested in. We'd rather just let it fly off the cuff and it'll be what it'll be. Sometimes it'll be absolutely amazing, and sometimes it'll be just great, you know. Like, it's always good, it'll always be good, but we don't work to perfect it. We just would rather have it happen in the space and time, you know.
river's high and it's hard to ford. Can't cross the river, can't open no doors. The only thing to do is take a swim. But the current's strong and the light is dim. Won't you burn a fire to bring some light? Ain't got no moon in the sky tonight. Maybe the dark's just where I stand. Lost soul and a worried man.
The band is called Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. Yep. We're talking to the banjo player. His name is Russell Peterson. Does a lot of what comes out of your instruments, it feels spontaneous to me?
Yes. Everything is pretty loosely put together. Okay. You know, we all sit down and take a take, especially for recording. You know, we'll play it out and see how it goes. And most of the time, it is what it is. If it feels great, mm-hmm. we'll keep it. If it could feel a little bit better, we'll give it another shot. Really pride ourselves on trying to make in the moment, you know, solos and breaks and have fun that way, and just kind of let whatever you're feeling come out in your instrument in the middle of the show. As far as live shows go, that no song is removed from a brand new interpretation at any time. And we play around a single condenser, you know, microphone as well. So not only you got to know where we are, you know, musically in the song, but, you know, you got to watch out for your buddies when you're running around a single mic all the time, too. So we all have a really good time together playing.
In my little break there, I should have mentioned that you are coming June 19th to Hudson, and you're going to be playing aboard the Grand Duchess. The show,
I guess, is called
Rockin' the River. It's presented by the St. Croix River Association. Let's talk a little bit about your banjo playing. Are you basically a clawhammer player, or do you play all different kinds?
Oh, no, that is correct. I am mostly a clawhammer player. I dabble into a little three-finger picking, which is the other major style of playing the banjo. But I tried to play three-finger for a little bit when I first picked up the banjo, and it wasn't really clicking for me. I enjoyed it, but I thought I would have to give clawhammer a shot as well. And I spent a summer kind of hiding out on the river and in my room and practicing and having a good time with it. And eventually came out on the other side very, very happy with my choice to change styles, and have never looked back since, and have just been looking to push the limits of what you can do with a clawhammer banjo ever since.
Most people, they watch a real fast and glitzy banjo player and they say, you know, maybe I should be a finger picker. But, you know, clawhammer or frailing, then there's something real basic about that.
Yeah, I think it's also it's very percussive in nature.
Yeah.
And you can really back up a friend, or, you know, the whole band with a clawhammer in a good way. That not that three-finger players, the greats, can do it in the best of ways, you know, but I find the real percussive, you know, rhythmic portion to clawhammer to be really, really nice behind a voice while singing, you know, and behind a fiddle especially. Is uh-huh. There's nothing better than a clawhammer banjo and some fiddle playing.
Heart shoot through us like electricity, that carry on our armament and lead us to all torment and keep us who we really want to be. Like a beautiful night in the St. Croix Hills, we're falling in love, do much you will. Like kissing back waters, watch sun go down. All I know is that the world goes round.
We established a few minutes ago that you do have roots in the St. Croix River Valley. Well, let's talk about the time that you spent there. You had a job there for a while. What was that?
Yes, I worked as a seasonal ranger for the National Park Service out of St. Croix Falls. I was given an opportunity, you know, through that job to really get to know the history of the river in an incredibly intimate way. Mm-hmm. You know, having a wealth of knowledge with the historians there at the Park Service, and, you know, every volume of book you could ever, you know, want for stories, you know, going back to the Indians, to the logging era, to into everything up to the present, basically. And I really just got immersed in it. I wanted to know everything about the Riverway. And then on top of that, the job had you out in the field a lot, so I got to put a lot of miles onto the river, you know, really get to explore the nooks and crannies of the St. Croix, especially in my hometown stretch there between St. Croix Falls and down to Osceola, mm-hmm. and then even down to Marine on the St. Croix, and really got to know the backwaters, got to know the main channel, got to see where people actually camped, and got to interact with people who were out recreating on the river, other locals, other river rats, you know, people just being there for the first time, and I really kind of just fell in love with the whole atmosphere of that river specifically, and really became proud of the hometown staple. The river that runs right through all of these towns, you know, in western Wisconsin, and a major tributary to the Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things that I wouldn't trade a single minute of it for anything else. It was an incredible experience to be able to work on that river.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in love with the St. Croix, aren't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, it is a community for sure. There is a community of love surrounding that river, and I'm so thankful for it.
Yep. That's the voice of Russell Peterson. The quintet is Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. There's at least three songs on the CD that you sent me that have to do with the river. You did just mention the term river rat. I'm guessing you perceive yourself as being. There's one called St. Croix Hills, and then there's 5-foot sturgeon. Wow.
Those are three songs that at least particularly I've written about the St. Croix.
Mm-hmm.
River Rat is kind of a conglomeration of, you know, little trips down the St. Croix and funny things that I had realized while paddling around or just camping out on the banks, and eventually stuck all these little verses together. And I remember one of my coworkers at the Park Service talking to me about these river rats, these old timers that have just been out there since they were kids, and you know, kind of instilled this thing in me where I wanted to be that, and I ended up writing a song about it, you know, and if since forth, you know, thought of it as a summertime anthem, really, you know, something to strive for a little bit during the nicer months here in the Midwest.
Now I've always liked those stories of Fisherman John pulling up bodies from the deep. Now some call it magic and I'll call it logic. It sounds a lot like fishing to me. Now I wanna be a river rat, live all of my years on the Croix, and I'll make my home where the rivers do roll and draw life from the waters beneath.
The 5-foot sturgeon is an instrumental tune that I wrote while camping out on an island just south of Osceola, where I had found myself entangled with a 5-foot sturgeon on the end of my fishing line, and I had lost the fish at the end of the fight, but I got to see it jump once out of the water and have since estimated its size from that sighting of it.
Wow.
And right on the spot there wrote the banjo tune just to savor the memory, really, I guess.
Listening to your music, I'm going to suppose that you're a pleasant surprise when you show up at some venues. Do places that you play always know what they're going to get?
No. No, most places have a general idea, or somebody's told them that they should have us out at the venue.
Uh-huh.
But most places are never quite sure what to expect. And when we walk on stage, we open ourselves up, and we really like to just play music for people, make people smile. And it's one of those things that I'm glad everybody at these shows really latches onto us in that kind of way, because we feed off the crowd and they feed off us, and it just becomes a very nice, you know, evening together with everybody, and everybody walks away smiling.
Do people get out and dance?
Oh, yes. Everybody dances. We've had everything from, little kids to moms and dads picking up a dance together. And, all of our younger friends love to come out and cut a rug. And I think one of our oldest dancers has been 88 years old, and I'm sure there's been older than that. But all age groups seem to boogie to us, and we all kind of are wiggling and dancing on stage. So I think it's kind of contagious.
Good deal. You're a breath of fresh air to me, and have fun in Hudson. And be sure to let us know at WPR, specifically Spectrum West, when you're going to be in the area, will you?
Love to. We would love to.
Okay, man. Take care.
Yes. Thanks so much for this interview, Al. Much appreciated.
That was fun. It's next Thursday, the 19th. It's Out of Hudson. Take a big boat ride and hear the big sounds of horseshoes and hand grenades. Tickets online at StCroixRiverAssociation.org.
Here's what's on stage in Western Wisconsin theater venues. Flanagan's Wake, an interactive comedy, opens Friday and will play through June 29th at the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. The Falls Players production of the musical A Tale of Two Cities will play Friday and Saturday and the following Friday and Saturday at the Lunda Theater in Black River Falls. 1776, a musical production of the Eau Claire Children's Theater, will play through Sunday at the Oxford Theater in Eau Claire. The Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls will present Ole and Lena's 50th Anniversary and Vow Renewal in two performances Saturday in the theater's Elbow Room. The Pine Manor Boys of Kandi Ohi County will play Friday and Saturday at the St. Croix Art Barn in Osceola. The River Falls Community Theater production of the musical Forbidden Broadway's Greatest Hits will play through Saturday at Friends Bar and Grill in River Falls. The Red Barn Theater production of Foxfire will run June 18th through the 28th at the theater in Rice Lake. And Les Miserables will be staged June 18th through the 29th at the Northern Star Theater in Rice Lake. That Love and Feelin', the story of the Righteous Brothers, will play Friday and Saturday at the St. Croix Off-Broadway Dinner Theater in Hudson. The show will play Fridays and Saturdays and selected Sunday through August 14th. And that's some of what's happening in live theater around the region. For Spectrum West, I'm Jim Oliver.
Here's a final Spectrum memo. Sunday, explore the abandoned route of the Northern Pacific Railway as part of the Sunday morning coffee walks from the National Park Service. It's the railroad trails at Minnesota Interstate State Park. It all begins at 9 a.m. in Taylor's Falls at the Community Center parking lot. Well, hey, in coming weeks, we're going to update you on the Art Bench Trail that we told you about in the St. Croix Valley. Gillian Welch and music partner Dave Rawlings are coming to Eau Claire in early July. She'll be our guest, and we'll share her music. A couple new exciting authors are on the scene from Wisconsin. We will welcome them. And there's a cool book out about how we talk in Wisconsin there. That should be fun. And you know what? Between now and all those programs down the road, a lot more will pop up as we go. It always does. That wraps up our show for this week. It will replay on Friday evening at 7 o'clock on the stations of the News and Classical Music Network, in case you missed a segment. Thanks to everybody involved behind the scenes in helping us put this show together every week. I'm Al Ross. Have a nice rest of the day. Have a wonderful weekend. See you again.